堂听 class.com。
第七单元，走进动物。
Unit 7, Approaching Wildlife.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Have you ever had a close look at the creatures of the deep in the perpetual darkness of the ocean floor or something? Today, I'd like to tell you my wonderful experience in the new zoos around the world. Let's first look at the picture of Sheba the shark. I took this picture in Minnesota's Mall of America, where underwater adventures are offered. She floated just centimeters away from me. I could have reached out and touched her. Could have, that is, if the thick plexiglass wall hadn't been there.The wall curved above my head, forming a tunnel through the aquarium. The tunnel allowed me to visit the home of Sheba and 3,000 other sea animals. When my undersea tour had ended, I rode the escalator back up to the mall. I felt a little strange. Moments ago, I'd been in the dark, beautiful world of the ocean floor. Now,Crowds of people and brightly lit stores surrounded me. Located in Minnesota's Mall of America, Underwater Adventures offers visitors a virtual tour of the ocean floor. It does so in the convenience of a shopping center. This park is just one of many in the rapidly expanding world of animal parks. These new zoos are bringing nature to the consumer.And convenience is the name of the game. Today's animal watchers can go on lion safaris without traveling to Africa. And as I discovered, they can admire sharks just after shopping for tennis shoes. New parks are also letting visitors experience nature in new, exciting ways. At the West Edmonton Mall in Canada,Visitors can see the ocean sights in a miniature submarine. The ride takes guests under the surface of an indoor man-made lake, the world's largest. In addition to 200 kinds of sea life, visitors see beautiful coral reefs and even a sunken ship. Though not as impressive as a real ocean trip, mall aquariums certainly have a more convenient location.Guests can see the wonders of the ocean without taking the time to travel there. Other parks offer a more extensive look at nature. Animal safari parks give visitors a chance to visit wildlife in their natural surroundings. These parks are too big to fit in a shopping mall, but are still far more convenient than a trip to a distant jungle. Disney's Animal Kingdom is one of America's most famous animal parks. The 167-hectare park lets guests hike through the Indian jungle or ride jeeps through the African plains. The animals roam throughout their environments, allowing visitors a look at their life in the wild. The adventure begins at night at Singapore's Night Safari.The park gives guests the unique experience of visiting wildlife in the dark. Most of the park's tropical animals are nocturnal, so the park is open for only 5 hours a night. There are no truly wild places left in the world. As wildlife becomes even rarer, more tourists want to see them. But tourism alone plainly cannot conserve the world's animal.
第八单元，广告促销。
Unit 8, Advertising and Promotion.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation.
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Until the late 1940s, when television began finding its way into American homes, companies relied mainly on print and radio to promote their products and services. The advent of television brought about a revolution in product and service. Today, the Internet is once again transforming promotion. In any case, the purpose of advertising is to sell goods. This means that the advertiser is going to try to make you think you want something, his something, whether you need it or not. In other words, the advertiser is creating a demand for his product. This is fine. Remember, all the goods being produced today have to be sold, and you cannot buy something if you do not know about it. Let us see how advertisers try to reach the teenage consumer. All consumers have certain basic needs or wants: food, clothing, and shelter. But the basic needs of most teenagers are provided for by their parents. Even here, though, advertisers appeal to teenagers because they know that the kind of food mom buys or the furnishings in a teenage girl room will be partly determined by teenagers. Teenagers are interested in how much an item will cost. They are interested in whether they are getting solid value for their dollars. They want to know what service they can expect after buying the product. Advertisers let you know this. Probably the most effective appeal to teenagers is the appeal to their emotions. Some important emotions are love and fear. Sales of cosmetics to teenagers approach $1 billion each year. Dating is very important to teenagers, so you have to smell sweet, hide any skin blemishes, and keep your hair looking just right. The ads show how using a particular hairspray will make girls and boys more attractive to each other. Ads that promise to increase our sex appeal if we use a product are common. Almost any product can use this appeal. Ads tell you that you will be more attractive if you eat, chew, drink, wear, or use any one of hundreds of different products. Then, of course, there are those ads that warn of bad breath, perspiration stains, or body odor. Advertisers appeal to teenagers' desire to conform. Young people like to think of themselves as individuals who do their own things, but this is only partly true. Look around your classroom. Notice the hairstyles and the clothing that your classmates are wearing. Chances are there are more things you have in common with each other than you would care to admit. In addition, advertisers appeal to the desire for health and prestige, to the desire to be in style, to pride, and to envy and jealousy. Teenagers, just like all other consumers, are influenced by brand names. Advertisers try to get teenagers used to a brand because they know that, in later years, the teenagers will stick to this brand. Therefore, commercials are repeated over and over again on radio and television. We soon get to know them by heart. Slick advertising slogans will pop into our minds as we reach for a product. Some advertisers stay with particular radio or television stars, and consumers come to associate a product with a famous person. Since teenagers spend a lot of time listening to the radio, watching television, and browsing internet, this form of advertising is very important. You are probably wondering at this point whether advertising is good or bad. Actually, it may be a little of both. But decide for yourself.
第九单元双语教育。
Unit 9, Bilingual Education.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Our bilingual policy has been and remains a key pillar of our education system and of nation building. It reflects our unique situation as a young, multiracial nation. By learning their mother tongues, our students gain not just linguistic skills, but access to the deep rivers of culture and values that we inherit. By requiring students to study their mother tongues, we retain and strengthen our identity as an Asian society, as well as our special character, not just as an Asian society, but a multicultural society. We cannot tell exactly how our identity as Singaporeans will evolve, how our different cultures will interact and mesh with each other, and how they will respond to an increasingly globalized world. But we do know that Singapore will be richer for having tapped into its mother cultures and kept them relevant in a cosmopolitan setting. Our mother tongues and the intermingling of our mother cultures will be a source of vibrancy and give us distinctiveness. Our understanding continues to evolve on how students acquire languages. Two points are worth highlighting. The first is about providing a context that students find familiar or interesting. Research suggests that students learn more effectively and achieve facility in a language when their attention is focused on real-life situations. The second point is about the importance of learning through interaction. Communication, a primary objective of language learning, is intrinsically about people interacting with one another. In the language classroom, real interaction must involve the sharing of real information. The most successful language teachers are therefore those who are able to provide an environment which engages students in lively interaction and exchange of information. Another area of experiment is in the use of English as a tool for effective learning of the mother tongue for certain groups of pupils at the early stage, especially at primary one. Some teachers have indeed been doing so for some years on an informal basis. The project is being monitored, but the feedback from teachers and students has been very encouraging. There has also been a fair airing of views on the merits of this bilingual approach to Chinese language or Chinese language teaching. Some are concerned that the method will result in a substandard Chinese language, but there is also broad support for the introduction of this teaching method for Chinese students from English-speaking homes at the beginning stage of their learning of Chinese language. This recent debate highlights the importance of certain basic principles that are inescapable in teaching and learning. First, there is no longer space for one-size-fits-all teaching methods. Teachers know that students differ in how they learn, depending on their backgrounds, experiences, and inherent aptitudes. In language teaching, which method is most effective for a student will depend on his exposure to the language outside the school and especially at home. Further, we know from research on the brain that linguistic abilities are distinct from other intellectual abilities. Some students will be strong overall, but will have difficulty in learning languages naturally. We should try to find ways to help them acquire language competence. A second equally important principle is that whatever we do in education, we should remain pragmatic, not doctrinaire, in our approach. We should, as the Chinese would say, seek truth from facts. Where the evidence shows that we are not achieving what we set out to gain, we change methods. Where the aims are no longer relevant to circumstances, we revise the aims. The bilingual approach is one experiment in teaching the mother tongue, applied to students from English-speaking homes that have little exposure to their mother tongue. We may well be unusual, even unique, in using another language to help in the learning of a mother tongue, But we are also virtually unique in having a substantial proportion of our children coming from homes where their mother tongue is rarely spoken. The bilingual approach is no substitute for the need for such parents and students to have a positive attitude towards the learning of the mother tongue. But where there is interest and a genuine desire to learn the language, we should find the most effective way to encourage students and minimize early hurdles. It is akin to learning to ride a bicycle with the pair of small wheels at the back, that is, the trainer wheels, that help the novice cyclist balance on the bicycle. Once the learner is able to keep his balance, the trainer wheels are removed.
第十单元，日常饮食。
Unit 10, Everyday Diet.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
My biggest hope for the coming years is that there will be a reaction against diets and food fads, though frankly, I can't see it happening. My New Year wish would be for the word light to disappear from the English language, or better still, for all diets sold in books at airports to prove to be fatal, so their authors got sued for millions in the American courts. Such diets are pernicious. We're already seeing malnourished children in wealthy LA suburbs, and cases of child anorexia and eating problems are increasingly being linked to parental neurosis rather than media images. Perhaps in the next century, we'll learn that if you want to lose weight, you simply need to eat less, and that, in general, food is good for you. If you eat sensibly, you will stay healthy. Your appetite can seem like a wild creature living inside you, demanding to be fed. It doesn't even speak the same language you do. Words with which you're all familiar, fat and thin, mean nothing to your insistent hunger. So, how do you tame this monster? You could drug it with an obesity medication that suppresses appetite, and risk side effects like insomnia, headaches, or high blood pressure. You could try to overcome it with willpower, just saying no to high-calorie food, and probably end up feeling deprived. You could cage it by following one of those cruel artificial eating regimens called a diet. Or you could do something natural that's been proved to work. Don't even try to defeat your appetite. Satisfy it instead. I think satiety, that feeling of fullness at the end of a meal, is the missing ingredient in weight management. And what creates satiety? Mainly volume, the simple bulk of the food you eat. If you consume low energy density meals, lots of substance but relatively few calories, you'll readily satisfy your appetite without gaining weight. Cooking has already become a leisure activity in Britain. Look at all those television programs. I do think we will be eating out more and more in restaurants, as a regular event more in the French style than for some special social occasion. And I hope good cooking in Britain will spread to all levels. It is already happening to an extent through pubs, though there is still a long way to go. Good food in Britain is currently not very democratic. As for what we eat, well, some of the science fiction books that predicted that we would all be slurping Japanese noodles have proved to be not too far from the truth. I think we will see pan-Eurasian foods becoming much more popular in the near future. Will GM food win acceptance? There will be movement of genes between species that could not be crossed by conventional breeding methods. That's not to say that food produced by conventional agriculture will disappear, but simply that food buying patterns will polarize. There will be a niche market for conventional foodstuffs just as there is for organic food. It may even be that GM, genetically modified food, will become the food of preference because consumers come to appreciate the health benefits of reduced pesticide use. No doubt, there will be some mistakes with GM crops too, but they shouldn't put us off progress.
第十一单元，太空计划。
Unit 11, Space Program.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation.
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Mr. President, thank you for the warm welcome. I am honored to be with the men and women of National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. I thank those of you who have come in person. I welcome those who are listening by video.This agency, and the dedicated professionals who serve it, have always reflected the finest values of our country. Daring, discipline, ingenuity, and unity in the pursuit of great goals. America is proud of our space program. The risk-takers and visionaries of this agency have expanded human knowledge, have revolutionized our understanding of the universe,and produced technological advances that have benefited all of humanity. Inspired by all that has come before, and guided by clear objectives, today we set a new course for America's space program. We will give NASA a new focus and vision for future exploration. We will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe, to gain new foothold on the moon,and to prepare for new journeys to worlds beyond our own. I appreciate the joint efforts of the Russians with our country to explore. I want to thank the astronauts who are with us, the courageous special entrepreneurs who set such a wonderful example for the young of our country. And we've got some veterans with us today. I appreciate the astronauts of yesterday who are with us as well,who inspired the astronauts of today to serve our country. 2 centuries ago, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark left St. Louis to explore the new lands acquired in the Louisiana Purchase. They made that journey in the spirit of discovery, to learn the potential of vast new territory, and to chart a way for others to follow.America has ventured forth into space for the same reasons. We have undertaken space travel because the desire to explore and understand is part of our character. And that quest has brought tangible benefits that improve our lives in countless ways. The exploration of space has led to advances in weather forecasting, in communications, in computing,search and rescue technology, robotics, and electronics. Our investment in space exploration helped to create our satellite telecommunications network and the global positioning system. Medical technologies that help prolong life, such as the imaging processing used in CAT scanners and MRI machines, trace their origins to technology engineered for the use in space.Our current programs and vehicles for exploring space have brought us far, and they have served us well. The Space Shuttle has flown more than 100 missions. It has been used to conduct important research and to increase the sum of human knowledge. Shuttle crews and the scientists and engineers who support them have helped to build the International Space Station. Telescopes,including those in space, have revealed more than 100 planets in the last decade alone. Probes have shown us stunning images of the rings of Saturn and the outer planets of our solar system. Robotic explorers have found evidence of water, a key ingredient for life, on Mars and on the moons of Jupiter. At this very hour, the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit,is searching for evidence of life beyond the Earth. As our knowledge improves, we'll develop new power generation propulsion, life support, and other systems that can support more distant travels. We do not know where this journey will end, yet we know this. Human beings are headed into the cosmos. And along this journey, we'll make many technological breakthroughs. We don't know yet what those breakthroughs will be, but we can be certain they'll come, and that our efforts will be repaid many times over. We may discover resources on the moon or Mars that will boggle the imagination, that will test our limits to dream. And the fascination generated by exploration will inspire our young people to study math and science and engineering and create a new generation of innovators and pioneers. We begin this venture knowing that space travel brings great risks. Since the beginning of our space program, America has lost many astronauts, men and women who believed in their mission and accepted the dangers. As one family member said, "The legacy of Columbia must carry on for the benefit of our children and yours." The Columbia's crew did not turn away from the challenge, and neither will we. Mankind is drawn to the heavens for the same reason we were once drawn into unknown lands and across the open sea. We choose to explore space because doing so improves our lives and lifts our national spirit. So let us continue the journey. May God bless you.
第十二单元，青年教育。
Unit 12. Adolescent Education.
篇章交传。
Passage for consecutive interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am very glad to be invited here to make a speech on an educator's responsibility. I read newspaper articles about violent crime, see the rages of inhumanity on the evening news,and hear sound bites on the radio describing cruelty and intolerance. That happens to me often. As an American high school principal, I worry particularly about the effects on our children of our own society, a society that is less safe and less hospitable than the one I experienced as a child growing up during the 1950s and 1960s. In many school districts throughout America,There is already compelling evidence that adolescents have been affected negatively by changing social conditions, including by what many Americans believe to be a decline of basic human values. Parents and teachers must contend often with adolescent aggression, profanity, and disrespect. We are fortunate that most students at our high school are respectful, considerate, and tolerant of differences among their peers. I am proud of the majority of our students' behavior and generally pleased with the social climate of our school. There are, however, some students at our school who display antagonistic attitudes and behave inappropriately.Some students are insensitive and unkind to their classmates, discourteous to adults, and quick to express their anger by raising their voices or by using profanity. It is the responsibility of parents to teach their children to be polite, courteous, and forbearing. It is one of their most fundamental responsibilities to impart to their children the values of integrity, decency, and respect for others.Teachers and school administrators should never become, however, ethical bystanders. If we wish to realize our school district's philosophy not only to educate our students, but also to encourage them to accept the innate worth of every human being, we must not surrender the ideal of maintaining a moral community at our school, where all people have an obligation to be polite and tolerant of individual differences.Some individuals believe that school personnel should not interfere with the behavior of students unless it is directly related to learning or affects the safety of individuals who are inside the school building or somewhere on campus. But good teachers and administrators do teach values, not personal private values, but common values of courtesy, mutual respect, persistence, responsibility, and self-reliance. Ideally, competent educators affirm socially responsible values taught at home. They should demand appropriate vocabulary and good manners. They should remind the students of saying please and thank you, and remind them of not interrupting when others are speaking. It is very much the responsibility of teachers and administrators to promote our school's traditions of proper behavior and good sportsmanship. As a principal, I expect to be judged by the moral and ethical climate of our school. All the academic improvements of our school notwithstanding, I would never consider myself a successful educator unless our students graduated not only as successful learners, but also as ladies and gentlemen.